Tonight, Shir, we're going to start Megillas Eicha, and we're going to address Perek Aleph in Megillas Eicha. The title of the Shir is The Absence of Comfort. And the plan is that I want to take up a Perek of Eicha each week till we get to Tisha B'Av, and hopefully we'll finish Eicha. And each Perek, I want to address certain themes in the Prakim. And I found a theme in Perek Aleph that I want to discuss and get your input into. But first, we're going to start with a little bit of background information. And the background information comes from the first Pasuk and the first Rashi as to who wrote Eicha and a little bit of a story behind Eicha. If you look at number one on the source sheet, it's Eicha Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. It starts with Eicha Yashva Vadad. How the city remains lonely. Okay, if you look at Rashi, he just gives a background. He gives a history of Megillas Eicha. And we read Megillas Eicha on Tisha B'Av. Some people read it at night. Some people read it during the day. Some people read it both. Eicha Yashva Vadad. Yirmiyahu Kasav Sefer Kinos. Hi HaMegillah Asher Saraf Yehoyakim Ala Ach Asher La Eish. So Yirmiyahu was the author of Eicha. And he wrote a book of lamentations. And this Megillah was destroyed by the evil king Yehoyakim, and I'll tell you the story behind it. Vahayubas Shalosh Aleph Besos. And if you look at Eicha in Perek Aleph, Bez, and Dalid, it starts with Aleph. The first pasuk starts with Aleph, the next pasuk with Bez, then Gimel. And it says Eicha Yashva, Eicha Yaev, Eicha Yuam. Shuv Hosef Alav Ania Gever Shehu Shalosh Aleph Besos Shenamar Ve'ono Safalehem Dvarim Rabim Kahema Shalosh Keneged Shalosh. And then Ania Gever was added on later. And the Pasuk, there's a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu which alludes to Ania Gever, which is a third parak in Eicha. So really, initially, Megillas Eicha was 1, 2, and 4. And then the third parak was added. I'm not sure when the fifth parak was added. But the third parak was added after. Now, what is the story of Eicha? Or how it was written. So Yirmiyahu, he lived before the Chorban, before the destruction of the first Mikdash. And one of the kings that he lived through, the name of the king was Yehoyakim. And Yirmiyahu was told to write down, by God, was told to write down these ideas in Eicha. And he wrote them down, and it was meant to get the people to do tshuva. And it was written down, and it was read over to all the people. But the king, the evil king Yehoyakim, he didn't want the people to hear all the bad things that would happen in the future. And he decided to destroy the Megillah. And he threw it on the fire to destroy it. And afterwards, Hashem, he told Yirmiyahu to once again write down this information through his scribe, Baruch ben Neriah. And he did so, and he also added on this extra Ani HaGever. And if you look at number three, the Psukim, they say that explicitly. It says, V'Yirmiyahu lakach Megillah acheres, v'yitna el Baruch ben Neriah ha-sofer. He took another Megillah, another scroll, and he gave it to Baruch ben Neriah, the scribe, Vayichtov aleha mipir Yirmiyahu as kol divrei ha-sefer asher saraf Yehoyakim. So all the ideas and all the psukim that Yehoyakim, the evil king, had destroyed because he didn't want the bad information, this negative information about the Chorban to get out, and he couldn't tolerate it. So Yirmiyahu wrote it again, Asher Saraf Yehoyakim Melch Yudah Ba'esh, V'oh Nosaf Aleim Dvarim Rabim Ba'kahema. And he also added on other things, which is a reference to the third parak, Ani HaGever, which are similar in his writing. So he wrote it in a similar way, just like the first two and the fourth parak start with Aleph Beis, so too, Ani HaGever has three Alephs and then three Beis, in order to reference the fact that it was written in a similar style. Okay, so that's the background on Megillas Eicha. It was written by Yirmiyahu. It was written before the destruction of the Mikdash, and it foreshadowed the destruction of the Mikdash and the response to the destruction of the Mikdash, and it had to be rewritten after it was destroyed by the evil king, Yehoyakim. Okay? Any questions? Okay. But really, my purpose tonight is not to get to the history. I just wanted to give a little background on Eicha, but I want to understand the first parak of Eicha, and one of the themes that I noticed in Eicha, and it's alluded to in the Mefarshim, but also in the Pesukim openly, is the idea that there is no comfort, there's no nechama, menachem. But Eicha, it mentions it many times in many different contexts, so I want to understand what each context is and the uniqueness of each time it's mentioned. So we're going to begin again. We look at source number one, and source number one is the first two psukim in Eicha, and I'm going to read it inside in the Hebrew, and I have a translation here, so I'll translate it for you. It starts with Eicha yashva vadad ha'ir rabasi om ha'isa ke'almana rabasi vagoyim sarasi bamedinos ha'isa lomas. Oh, how the city, meaning Yerushalayim, which was once so populous, remained lonely. So Yerushalayim had many people, and then it was empty after the destruction of the Mikdash. She has become like a widow. She that was great among the nations, a princess among the provinces, has become tributary. Now she's paying, you know, taxes. She was once on top, and now she's on the bottom. Bachosif kebalayla v'dimasa al lecheya. She weeps, yea, she weeps in the night, and her tears are on her cheek. She has no comforter among all her lovers. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. Okay? So the pasuk guy, or the idea, where's the idea mentioned? The lack of comfort, or the absence of comfort. The first time it's mentioned in the first parak of Eicha is pasuk based. It says, Bachosif kebalayla. We cry at night, v'dimasa alecheya, and the tears are on her cheek. Ein loh menachem mikol aveha. It has no comforters. She has no comforters amongst all her friends. Kol re'eha bagduva hayula l'oivim. All her friends have betrayed her. They became her enemies. Okay, so let's just start off with Rashi to understand. I want to understand the context of ein loh menachem, and I'll explain what that means by asking some questions. But if we look at number four in Rashi, it says Balaila at nighttime. Why does it mention Bachosif Kebalaila at the beginning of Pasuk Beis? So there's three pshatim. One is Shamikdash Nisraf Balaila de Amar Mar L'Eis Erev Hatisu Boas Aor. So one pshat is the reason that the city of Yerushalayim cries at night is because the Chorban, the destruction, the burning of the Mikdash occurred at night. Davar Acher Balaila, Laila Shel Bechias Meraglim B'Tisha B'Av Garma Lahem. And another possibility is that at nighttime, that's when the Meraglim, the spies, cried, and that's what caused the Chorban. And then the last possibility, which is the possibility I want to address, it says, Davar Acher, another possibility, Balaila, Shekola Boche Balaila, Hashomea Kolo Boche Imo. Anybody who cries at night, anybody who hears a person crying at night, cries with them. Okay, so that's the reason why the city of Yerushalayim as a whole, and the people, I guess it's Yerushalayim, is crying at night. Why is it crying at night? Because anybody who cries at night, other people who hear it cry with them. But then it says right after, Ein lo menachem mikol aveha. Sorry, v'dimasa alachia. Look at Rashi. It says, Mitoch shehi bocha tamid. Because she cries all the time, there's tears on her cheeks. And then kol ra'eha ohaveha. All her friends betray her and become oivim. Okay, so what's the purpose, according to Rashi, why would you say, or what would be the reason why Klal Yisrael or Yerushalayim is crying at night? Why is it significant that anybody who hears the cry will cry with them? What's the purpose of the cry? What are they trying to do? What is Yerushalayim trying to do? So it sounds like the idea is that Yerushalayim, they're trying to attract people, it's trying to let people know that it's crying, and it wants people to identify with its cry. And the concept that Rashi is alluding to is that at nighttime, when people hear crying at night, and they don't see all the facts, all they do is hear the cry, so they tend to cry with the person who's crying at night. But the purpose of crying at night, according to Rashi, seems to be to attract other people to cry with you. So you're trying to get other people to identify with your troubles. Okay, but the Eicha, it says, Ein lo menachem mikol aveha kol re'eha bagduva hayula lo'ovim. Okay, so the first explanation, or the first idea of Nechama, is that there is no Nechama, and for what reason? What's the reason that the Psukim, I'm asking the people on the phone line, what reason is the Psukim giving for the lack of comfort? Why is there a lack of comfort? It says, Ein lo menachem mikol aveha kol re'eha bagduva hayu lo lo'ovim.
Because all of their friends are other enemies.
Good. Okay, good. So it's pshat. So the first idea of Menachem, the first idea of comfort that Eicha is expressing is a comfort that comes from others, right? Like, for example, if somebody dies and you sit Shiva, typically what happens is that your friends, other people who care about you, come to visit you, and they sit with you and they make you, they try to make you feel better and they give you words of consolation. They'll say, oh, you're going to get through this. And, they talk to you about it and they try to make you feel better about the situation. So Eicha, the first idea or the first instance of a lack of comfort, Ein Lo Menachem, a lack of Nechama, comes from the fact that there's nobody out there to give Yerushalayim Nechama. Because those who normally would give Yerushalayim Nechama are now their enemies. Because typically Nechama, comfort, comes from the fact that friends come to visit you and they come to sit with you and they give you advice and they try to calm you down. And that was lacking after the Chorban, that type of Nechama. So that's the first type of Nechama. And I know this sounds very pshat, but I'll show you how the ideas in Eicha come together to demonstrate a total absence of Nechama. But the first type of Nechama that's mentioned is a Nechama that comes about through your friends, through friends visiting you and through friends offering you, offering you consolation. And that was absent after the Chorban. So that type of consolation is lacking. And the beginning of the pasuk, according to Rashi, demonstrates that there is a desire for people to identify with Yerushalayim. There's a desire to bring the Menachemim towards you by crying out in a desperate and a desolate time to get other people to come towards you. But nobody out there wants, there's no friends, nobody out there wants to give comfort. So that's the first type of lack of Nechama, or I would say absence of Nechama. Okay. Does anybody have any ideas as to why you would say at nighttime, more so than in the daytime, people will cry with you? Why do you think that is? Any possibilities?
Nothing better to do at night.
What did you say?
I said nothing better to do at night. During the day, you're busy with other things. You're not really thinking about.
Okay. All right, good. All right, anybody else?
Nighttime is more lonely.
Okay, good. All right. So you're more lonely at night. You can't see things. So you're saying you feel loneliness, so therefore you're able to identify with somebody else who's crying. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's a good possibility. Okay. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just offering different possibilities. Okay? Also, you can't see all the information. All you hear is the cry, so you're isolating the cry. Whereas if you, in the daytime, when you can see the person who's crying, you might not identify with that person. Let's say the person is crying for a totally different reason than you would cry, or the person looks different than you. You have no relationship with the person. So daytime, when it's light outside, you can see all those other aspects. But at nighttime, all you can identify is the cry. So because you can identify the cry, it's easier to feel a sense of camaraderie with the person who's crying. But once it's light outside, then there's a potential that you can break that identification. It's not just about the cry, okay? But the first idea of Nechama is the lack of Nechama comes from the fact that there's nobody out there, or there are no friends to come comfort Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's find, where's the next point, or the next part in Eicha Perek Aleph, where Nechama is mentioned, and it's mentioned in a different context, and I want to address the different context. It says in number 5, Eicha Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. Hold on, let me get it out. Chit Chata'al Yerushalayim. Al Kain Lenida Hayasa. Kol Mechabdea Hizilua Ki Ra'u Ervasa. Gam Hi Ne'enacha Vatashav Achor. Yerushalayim sinned grievously, therefore she became a wanderer. All who honored her despised her, for they have seen her shame. Moreover, she herself sighed and turned away. Tumasa bishuleha lo zachra acharisa, vatered pala'im ein menachem la. Re'e Hashem es oni ki gdil oyev. So once again, it says, her uncleanliness is in her skirts. She was not mindful of her end, and she fell astonishingly with none to comfort her. Behold, Hashem, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. Okay, what do we see again? Once again, in number 5, we see the idea of ein menachem la. So why does he keep referencing this idea of Ein Menachem Lo? So let's look at the context of Ein Menachem Lo again. Look at number 5, Pasuk Tes. First, in Ches, there's a recognition of the fact that there is a chet, that there is a sin on the part of Yerushalayim, and it says, Al Kain Lenidah Hayasa, and then at the end, in Tes, it says, Tumasa Bishula. What does that mean? Look in Rashi, number 6. Rashi on Pasuk Tes says, Tumasa Bishula, Lashon Gnai. It's a lashon of disgrace. Hu dam nidosa, Nikar Bishule Bigadeha. It's similar to the dam of Anida, the blood of Anida that would stain the clothing on the outside. Klomar Chatoseha Gluyin. As if to say that the Yerushalayim's sins are open, they're obvious. Harbe Asa Asan Begaloi. Because many were done, or a lot was done in the open. Lo zachra, meaning the sins. Lo zachra acharisa. Kishayu chotin lo nasnu lev matiya acharisam. And when Klal Yisrael were chotim, they didn't heed, and they didn't think about the future. What would happen to them? Lefichach vatered pelayim. Therefore, they fell astonishingly. Yiridasam niflase pelayim harbe shakol pelayim sheira lo mashlo ira lechol ir. Everybody was stunned by the downfall of Yerushalayim, because nothing like this ever happened to another city. Okay, so let's go back to the psukim number 5. It says, "Tumasa bishulel lo zachra acharisa vatered pelaim ein menachem la." So the tuma, the sins of Yerushalayim were obvious, and when they did their sins, they didn't think about the future. Ein menachem la. There is no comfort for her. Re'e Hashem es oni ki gdil oyev. Okay, now I want to understand, why is there no comfort? What's the idea of no comfort in this situation, this pasuk? Why is there no, what's the context of no comfort? Ein menachem la. Before we said, ein menachem la, there's no comfort because there's nobody out there to give comfort. There are no friends, as opposed to in a situation where a person has a tragedy, and normally your friends come out. But we feel, if a person has no friends, he's not going to feel comfort. Over here, what's the reason why there's no comfort? What's the reason for the lack of comfort? So the lack of comfort, according in these psukim, is an idea in the concept that their sins are nicker, and typically you don't give nechama. A person won't give nechama to a person that they see deserved their tragedy, for like a murderer. Let's say a person murders somebody else and then they're in jail. So you wouldn't say that it's tragic that they're in jail, because you say that they deserved it. This is what they did. They did it out in the open. You know, the person, it's obvious that the murderer was the murderer. He was convicted in the court. So the idea Eicha saying is Ein Menachem La. Another reason, there's another concept or another reason why Yerushalayim isn't Menachem. It doesn't get Nechama, because they deserved it. And when you deserve something, people don't feel pity for you. And people don't want to come and visit you and give you consolation. So another area or another concept in the lack of Nechama comes from the fact that Tumasa Bishuleha, because of the fact that it's obvious that Klal Yisrael sinned. And everybody knows that Klal Yisrael deserves a destruction, a complete destruction, therefore there's no desire to give it comfort. Okay? All right, does that make sense, or does anybody want to add anything to the concept? Dina? All right, so we have two ideas in Nechama. One idea in Nechama, or the lack of Nechama comes from the fact that there's nobody, there are no friends. All of Klal Yisrael's friends betrayed her, and nobody actively wants to come and visit Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael, give us Nechama. But the other idea is because we deserved it, and other people see that, and they recognize the fact that Klal Yisrael deserved it, and you don't give Nechama. There's no desire to console somebody who deserved, what they got, who deserved the tragedy. You only want to console somebody who you feel sorry for, who you actually feel genuine pity. But if you know that somebody did something and it resulted in the tragedy and they deserved it, you don't really have a desire to comfort. And that's why Yerushalayim lacks comfort. Yerushalayim and Klal Yisrael, they lack comfort because there's nobody out there to comfort them. A, there's no friends. And B, because of the fact that they engender no pity on the part of others. Okay? Okay. So now there's another reference to Nechama, to comfort. And this is an allusion. And there's another idea, or there's another instance when a person lacks or doesn't feel comforted. If you look at number 7, Eicha Perak Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis. And it doesn't say it openly in the psukim, but the Mefarshim reference it. It says, "Lo aleichem kol ovrei derech habitu ru im yesh mach ov kemach ovi asher olali asher hoga Hashem biyom charon apa." It says, "All of you who pass along the road, let it not happen to you. Behold and see if there is any pain like my pain, which has been dealt to me, with which the Lord saddened me on the day of His fierce anger." So now we're going out to the open road and we're saying, has anybody experienced the same thing that I've experienced? And one of the Mefarshim, the Ibn Ezra, I couldn't bring it down because I didn't have it on the Bar Ilan CD. But one of the Mefarshim, the Ibn Ezra, he explains why Klal Yisrael, or why Yerushalayim, is going out and seeking out others. In Yud Beis, he says, Mispalele shelo yavo aleichem kimo shehevi alai. First of all, you're telling other people to daven that this shouldn't happen to you, the destruction, the complete destruction of Klal Yisrael. Hagidi li im yesh machov kemachovi v'esnachim. So tell me if anybody out there has experienced and feels the same pain that I have, and then I will feel esnachim, then I will feel comfort. Okay? So another idea in the absence of comfort, the lack of comfort, in lo menachim, in number 7, is the idea that nobody... When does a person feel comfort in general? A person feels comfort sometimes, even if you don't have friends that comfort you, but if you're talking to somebody else who experienced the same thing that you experienced. For example, if your house was destroyed by a fire and you feel complete depression and you're upset over your house being destroyed by a fire. So even if you have no friends, let's say you have no friends to come comfort you, and even if you deserved it, but the fact that there's other people out there that experience the same thing and you could talk to other people who experience the same thing, that gives you comfort. Why do you think that is on the phone line? Why do you think that sharing common experiences makes you feel more comfortable?
Feel less alone.
Yeah, well, what does that mean? What does it mean, less alone? Why does feeling lonely make you... Why does the fact that other people experience the same thing make you feel... What?
Because you feel like you were singled out. And
good,
for
good.
If people were going through the same thing, then
good.
It wasn't just you who was singled out. It's more than so...
Good. Okay, so good. Is that Tamar?
Yes.
Okay, good. So Tamar is saying a good concept. She's saying that the idea of the lack of comfort stems from a feeling that you've been singled out. You feel like it's unfair. And when you feel like you're the only one that this happened to you, it makes you feel more alone and it makes it feel more unfair. But if you see that it happened to somebody else, then it becomes, or it looks in your mind, psychologically, it becomes more fair in your eyes. So just talking to other people and seeing that they experience the same thing that you've experienced, it makes it more fair in your eyes from a psychological standpoint. But what is the Eicha saying? Eicha,
like,
yeah.
Go ahead. It's a point. It seems like people subconsciously they feel that if something bad happened to them, then it's like God going against them. So it's sort of like a little bit of a shame.
Yes.
So that makes the pain even greater.
Yeah.
I think Kohelet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brings up that point. I'm not sure. Then I had another question about, do you think that it's contradictory the way that they're looking out for other people to make sure that nobody suffers this pain, and also finding such people would comfort them?
Okay, the first question at the end of this year, the idea of davening for other people to not experience this pain. But what was the second question? I'm sorry. Yeah, the second question.
Is it like a kind of like a contradiction? Because in one hand, that finding other people with the pain would be comforting, but on the other hand, they're davening that nobody else suffers.
No, because that's the point of that. I think that's the point of it's not a contradiction because it's people that it happened to in the past, but you want people to be mispalo who it never happened to, that it should never happen. But the point of the psukim is ein menachim lo, because another reason why we can't feel comfort is because it's impossible for other people to have experienced what we experienced, because the downfall of Yerushalayim and Klal Yisrael by the Churban was something that was not experienced or could not have been experienced by anybody else. So it's another reason for Ein La Menachem. I think Tamar was saying that Nechama is tied to, and we're going to get to this, but Nechama is tied to, you feel comfort when you feel like there's a certain fairness, but when you feel like it's unfair, so then you feel a lack of comfort. And the idea is that when you talk to somebody else who experienced the same thing that you experienced, it makes the experience that you went through more fair in your eyes, because it's not that you were singled out, like Tamar said. So the idea of Eicha in number sorry, the idea Eicha is expressing, number 7, is Lo aleichem kol avrei derecha biturru im yesh machov kemachovi asher olali asher ahoga Hashem biyom charon apo. It's saying, is there anybody out there? But it's almost, it's like rhetorical. There is nobody out there. Nobody out there. If there were anybody, then it could give me nechama. But there is nobody out there. There's nobody out there who experienced the same thing that Klal Yisrael experienced. And that's another reason for the lack of nechama. So really what I'm trying to get at is that the first parak in Eicha is highlighting the lack of nechama, but it's showing you different ways in which there's, or different reasons why there's a lack of nechama. There's the lack of nechama from the standpoint that there's no friends out there to give you nechama. There's nobody outside of Klal Yisrael wants to be Menachem Klal Yisrael or Yerushalayim. There's no nechama because nobody feels sorry for Klal Yisrael because of the fact that they deserved it. And you only want to give nechama when you feel sorry for a person or when you feel like they didn't deserve it and it's unfair. And then also, there's nobody to share this experience with because of the fact that it was so horrendous and it was so horrific. There's nobody to share this experience with, and there's no comfort from that standpoint, from that framework as well. So there's three ideas of nechama, but the lack of nechama, and he's trying to wipe out any feeling or any sense of nechama that you can get from any of these avenues. All of these avenues are now closed off, and Eicha is showing that after the Churban, this is one of the, you know, this is the great tragedy and the terrible nature of after the Churban, that all avenues of nechama were closed off. Okay, he mentions that it's mentioned again. We're going to move on to number 9. Eicha Pasuk Tazayin, Paragal Pasuk Tazayin. Al Eila Ani Bochia, Eni Yordamayim, Ki Rachak Mimeni Menachem, Meshiv Nafshi, Hayu Vanai Shomemim, Ki Gavar Oyev. For these things I weep, my eye, yea, my eye, sheds tears, for the Comforter to restore my soul is removed from me. My children are desolate, for the enemy has prevailed. Okay? Persa Tzion Biadea, Ein Menachem La. Tziva Hashem Liakov Tzivav Sarav Haisa Yerushalayim Lenida Beinehem. Okay, Tzion spreads out her hands for help, but there is none to comfort her. The Lord has commanded concerning Yaakov that his adversaries shall be round about him. Yerushalayim has become an outcast among them. Okay, what is this? Let's look at Rashi. So the first pasuk says, Al Eila Nibochia, because of these things I cry, Eini Yordamayim. Number 10. Eini, klomar tamid eini yor damayim kafa lasham melabin she'ein afugos. They cry continuously. My eyes cry continuously. Ki rachak mimeni menachem, because I don't have a menachem. Meshiv nafshi, one to restore my soul. And then he says, Persa tzion, look in Yud Zayin. Persa tzion biadea ein menachem lo. So tzion outstretches its hands. What does that mean, it outstretches its hands? Rashi says, Kimo upiris yadav bekirbo ka adam hamolich yadav molicham umeviam umitzdar bahem. It's like a person in pain. He flails his arms. So Tzion is flailing its arms. Ein menachem lo. There is no menachem for it. And then there's another shot. If you go down a little bit further in Rashi, he says it means ke adam hamitzdar shechovik es yado umeshabram tosefes matzasi. Another explanation is it's like breaking. It's like a person who's clasping his hands like he's broken down. Okay, so Persa Tzion biyada ein menachem lo. There's a lack of nechama there also. So what is another concept or another expression of the lack of nechama? So to me, Eicha over here, he's saying another reason why there's a lack of nechama is because it's rachak mimeni. It's nechama's rachak mimeni. A person can only be menachem, he can only get nechama if they're ready for nechama. If a person is, there are many different stages of avelus, of mourning, and in the immediate tragedy, when something happens, a person's not ready for nechama. They have to, you know, go through the depression, and they have to cry, and they have to continuously cry. And Eicha is saying over here, aside from all the other ideas of nechama, that there's no avenue of nechama because there's nobody there to give nechama. There's no avenue of nechama because nobody feels pity for Klal Yisrael. There's no avenue of nechama because of the fact that nobody experienced the same thing that we experienced. Another idea is that there's no nechama because we're not ready, or we're incapable of accepting nechama. And that's the idea of al eila ani bochia eini yordamayim. My eyes continuously cry. I'm not ready. They're not ready to accept the nechama, to be in a state of comfort. And Persa Tzion Biader, Rashi explains, it's like a person in pain. His arms are flailing. It means that the person is not ready. He's still in the Klal Yisrael were perpetually in a state of pain, and they weren't ready. They were incapable of accepting the Nechama post the Chorban. So that's another idea or as to why there's an absence of Nechama in the aftermath of the Chorban. Okay? So we have four ideas in Nechama. I keep summarizing it because it's important to recognize it, but it's one theme in Eicha Perek Aleph, but it's showing you that the avenues of comfort are closed off, and in four different ways. In the manner that nobody's out there, in the manner that nobody cares because nobody feels pity, in the manner that nobody's experienced the same thing. Even those who don't care about Klal Yisrael, there's nobody out there to even talk to who experienced the same thing. And last but not least, the pain is so overwhelming that it's almost impossible or incapable of Klal Yisrael to accept the Nechama, to be on the level psychologically to be able to handle it, because they're constantly in a state of crying and their arms are flailing, and Nechama is almost meruchak. It says ki rachak mimeni, it's far away. You're not ready for it. It's distant, Nechama. Okay. Now we're going to go back to Tamar's idea at the end of Eicha. The last place that Nechama is mentioned is in one more place. It says Re'e Hashem in Pasuk Chaf, the end of Perek Aleph. And I know we're skipping Pesukim, but I'm just trying to show you or try to focus on the theme of a lack of Nechama. It says Re'e Hashem ki tsar li me'ay chamar maru ne'apach libi bikirbi ki maro marisi michut shikla cherev abayis kamaves. Behold, Hashem, for I am in distress, my innards burn, my heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. In the street the sword bereaves, in the house it is like death. Shamu ki ne'nacha ani ein menachem li. They have heard how I sigh, and there is none to comfort me. Kol oivai shamu ra'asi sasu ki ata asisa, hevesa yom karasa v'yu chamonu. Chamoni. So it says, they have heard how I sigh, and there is none to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble and are glad that you have done it. If only you had brought the day that you proclaimed upon them and let them be like me. Tavo kol ra'asam ufanecha ve'olel lamo kasher olaltali al kop sha'ai ki rabos anchosi v'libi davai. May all their wickedness come before you and deal with them as you have dealt with me. For all my transgressions, for my sighs are many and my heart is faint. Okay. So I want to just go back to the idea, an idea that Tamar mentioned earlier in this year. If you look at number 12, it says Tavo kol ra'asam, that Klal Yisrael and Eicha, they're asking God, they're beseeching God to do and to harm the non-Jews the same way or because of the fact that they laughed at the downfall of Klal Yisrael. And he says Tavo kol ra'asam in Chaf Beis, and the Torah Tamima quotes a Medrash. It says Tavo alam kimosha avesei alai. Bring upon the non-Jews the same way you brought upon me. Dikdik imam kimosha dikdakta imi. Be exact in your punishment of them as you did with me. Ve'ol lamo katuf olalan kimo dekatafta olalai. Cut down their grapes, their vineyards, the way that you cut down my grapes. Okay. So now the last idea of Nechama, Ein Menachemli, is that Klal Yisrael, they're not turning to others outside of them, and they recognize that they're not in a state to be comforted. But where can comfort come from, or where does comfort arise from or emerge from? So Tamar mentioned before that the idea of comfort, a person feels comfort when they see that it made sense, that there's some sense to the tragedy. And you see that a lot of times when a person dies, when somebody that you love dies. The reason why you lack comfort is because you can't understand it. You don't understand why it happened. And you can't understand how it fits into your life, into the scheme of your life. And if you saw that it was fair, if you saw the justice behind it, it would give you a little bit of comfort. You would recognize, oh, this is why it happened, or I understand why it happened and how it makes sense. And finally, if you look at the end of Eicha, there is a move of Nechama that instead of the Nechama coming from other people and from others outside and from sharing the same experiences or from an internal ability to accept Nechama, now the idea of Nechama is tied to the idea of seeing God's justice, of the same way that God punished Klal Yisrael, that the only way that we can get Nechama or feel a certain sense of comfort, Klal Yisrael, over the Chorban is by seeing ultimate justice being done to the non-Jews as well. And only then will we be able to experience Nechama. So the last idea, the last lack of comfort, the Ein Menachem, is from the fact that we don't see the justice from the standpoint of God. We don't see the Mishpat yet. We know that it will come. And we say, Tavo Alam, bring upon the non-Jews, you know, the same punishment and the same destruction that was brought upon the Jews. But the idea, the nechama, the lack of nechama, is the fact that we don't see that. But when we do see that, we will feel comforted. Okay? And so that's how Eicha is tackling the idea of nechama and the total lack of comfort expressed in the first parak. And the first idea is, and there's a progression here. First, the Yerushalayim is looking outside of itself for nechama, to friends, but there's nobody out there to give us nechama. And then the reason why, or one of the aspects of nechama, or the lack of nechama, is from the fact that nobody feels pity for Klal Yisrael, because of the fact that we deserved it, and we recognize it. Chet Chata Yerushalayim, we recognize the fact that we deserve it, and nobody wants to give us nechama, or comfort, because of that reason. And then in the third instance, nobody experienced the same thing that we experienced. So we can't discuss our travails and all the tragedies with others. And we can't share our experiences with others because nobody's experienced it. And therefore, we lack comfort. And the fourth is the idea that comfort is far from us, that we're still in a state of depression and we're incapable of accepting comfort. And then the last idea is that we go to God and we say to God, the only way that we will feel comfort is through the justice that is done to the non-Jews. And the fact that it hasn't been done yet, that's also another reason or another avenue of comfort that's been closed off to us. So the depression, the depressing and the sadness expressed in Eicha is from the fact that we're in the state, Klal Yisrael's in the state after the Korban where they're incapable of feeling comfort. For all those reasons, for all those many reasons. But the only type of comfort, look at number 13. It says, Ein la menachem, Amar of Levi, kol makom shenamar ein la, havi la. Anytime it says that there is none, meaning there's no comforter, it means there really is. Shenamar anochi anochi hu menachem chem. Hashem, in Yeshayahu, Hashem says, I am the one who's the menachem, the one who gives comfort. And if you look in the Torah Tamima, he says, kach mashma lashon ein la. Ein la, the lashon of ein la, lashon hove, is in the present. De'ata be'es ma'amar davar zeh, at the time that this was said, ein la, there is none. Aval achraka chayala, but there will be after this. So nechama, it does exist in the future, and the nechama of Klal Yisrael can only exist through God, demonstrating to Klal Yisrael the justice and the understanding of why the Korban happened and how it fits into the whole scheme of the, you know, of the existence of the world. And only then can Klal Yisrael feel nechama. But there is a nechama out there. But the idea of Eicha is to demonstrate the opposite, that in the experience of the Korban, there is an inability for Klal Yisrael to feel any sense of comfort. And we still feel lack of comfort over the Korban as a result of all those avenues being closed off. Okay? Any questions? I know it was a hard share, it was a deep share this week, but there's one more point that I want to make. It's a little bit easier. It's on one of the psukim, more specifically. If we look at number 15, one of the psukim mentioned was Yud Beis. It says, Lo Aleichem, and this somebody asked the question before. Lo Aleichem kol ovrei derech habitur u im yesh machov kemachovi asher olali asher hoga Hashem biyom charon apal. If you look in that pasuk, it's pasuk Yud Beis, the beginning of the pasuk says, Lo Aleichem kol ovrei derech. It says, let it not happen to you. All of you who pass along the road, let it not happen to you. It shouldn't happen to you. The same thing that happened to Klal Yisrael, let it not happen to you. And if you look in Rashi on that pasuk, he says, Lo aleichem, lo tehei kitzara hazos od l'chol ovrei aldas, amru chachamim mikan lekuvlona min haTorah, ru'u ma'asali habitu ru'u v'gomer. So from here we learn there's an idea of kuvlona min haTorah. What is kuvlona? So Rashi on Gemara Sanhedrin explains kuvlona in three ways. And these are interesting, more practical concepts, actually, in terms of nechama, in terms of comfort, and discussing your troubles with others. So if you look in Rashi, number 17, it says, Mikan lekuvlona min haTorah, kishadam modia tsa'aro la'acher, when you're telling your troubles to somebody else, tsarech sheyomar lo, lo tavo zos l'cho, kimo sheba elai. Before you talk about your troubles to somebody else, you have to say to them, this should not happen to you the same way that it happened to me. Ki kashet hu lishmoa, because it's hard for a person who's hearing your troubles to hear. Shepa'amim chozeras alav. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. V'hamakbid al-kach, a person who's makbid, who always does that, ein bo mishum nichush. We don't say that it's nichush, it's divination. What is nichush? Nichush is when a person says that if I say this, this will happen. If I say this, this will happen. So if a person Let's say I'm talking about something bad that happened to me. Let's take my house went on fire. It happened to be that a house went on fire in Bergenfield about 2 weeks ago. Not my house, but that's probably why I'm mentioning it. But let's say I'm talking about my house going on fire. Before I say to somebody else and I tell them, "Oh, my house burnt up on fire and it burned to the ground," I have to say, "Let this not happen to you." And if I say it and I'm machped on it, I always say this to somebody when I talk about my troubles. We don't say that's nichush. We don't say that it's like a person who thinks that by saying it, that it's not going to happen. If I say, "Oh, let this not happen to you," it doesn't mean that I'm saying it, or it's not nichush. It doesn't mean that I believe that there's a power to the words when I say, "Let it not happen to you." But there is an idea of saying that. You have to say, that's what Rashi says. You have to say, "May this not happen to you," just like the pasuk says, "Lo aleichem," it shouldn't happen to you. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you have to say, "Lo aleichem kol over derech"? When I'm telling you about my house that burned down, why do I have to say, "Let this not happen to you"? What is the benefit of that?
Other people would be afraid, would be superstitious, and they would think that.
Good. Good. Okay. So one idea is that you want the person to be comfortable to give you advice, and when you say to a person, "May it not happen to you," there's a natural. I keep using the word identification, but there's a natural identification. When you hear somebody's troubles, there's a part of you that thinks this could happen to me. And you, when you're giving over your troubles to somebody else, you want the person that you're giving your troubles to be a good menachem, to be a good comforter. So part of the way a person could be a good comforter is by you easing their minds and by telling them, "May this not happen to you." You want the person to be in a state where they can help you and they don't feel like this, you know, the same tragedy could happen to them. Okay? So that's one idea of kuvan. Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
You were saying before about feeling like you're alone.
Yeah.
If you say to somebody, like, "This shouldn't happen to you," you're kind of allowing, like, for yourself, you're allowing what happened to you to be, like, your own thing, like, to take ownership of it and be like, "Well, maybe," like, not to feel like somebody else has to have that tragedy happen to them for
right.
It's okay it happened to you.
Oh, okay, that's coming up at the end. That's good. That's a good point. I think that's the last shot. The second shot is...
Sorry.
No, but it's a good idea. Lishna Acharina, if you look in Rashi, says, "L'kuvlana k'shiyesh l'tzara yodi'ena l'rabim, kuvlana tz'aka." Kuvlana means to scream. So another idea is that when something happens to you, when a tragedy happens to you, you should go out into public and you should tell a lot of people. Why? Why do you guys think? Why should you tell a lot of people about your tragedies? Just like the pasuk says, "L'aleichem kol ovrei derech habitu eru." You see that Yerushalayim and Klal Yisrael, they're saying to everybody, when you pass down on the road, look and see. So they're telling their troubles to everybody. So why should you do that? What benefit is there to that? What do you think? On the phone lines. Why is it important, Kuvlana, why is it important? From this pasuk we derive that you're supposed to tell other people your tragedies. So I think, one idea I think is to be mevakesh rachamim for you. You want other people to be mispala for you. But another idea is that you want to attract people to give you nechama. And the only way that you can get people to give you nechama is if they're aware of your tragedies. So there is an idea of going out to the rabbim to try to get people to give you nechama, to try to get people and to make them aware of the fact that you're going through this experience in order to be attracted and to you and to give you nechama. So those are just, I think that's just a pshat. But the last idea, let's get to the last idea, which is what Emily said. The last idea says, Kuvlana, what does Kuvlana mean? Sorry, Lishna Achrina, Neged. It means against. Dem Targaminan Kavel. Ke Adam She'omer L'Chaver Lo K'Negdecha Ani Omer. So when a person is telling his troubles to his friend, he should say, "I'm not directing this towards you." So what does that mean? Emily said it before. See, there's a part of you, there's a part of every person that wants another person to experience the same pain that you experience, because in order, as we said before, in order to make things fair in your eyes, it would only be fair if you had somebody else experience the same thing that you went through. But the idea of kuvlana, of lo aleichem kol ovrei derech, is that you're not supposed to direct your bad troubles towards your friend, meaning that you have to make it clear to your friend when asking them or when discussing things with them that you have to be aware of this desire and you have to try to counter that desire. Because there is a natural desire that a person has in discussing their troubles with somebody else, even if they're your friends, that you want them to go through the same experience. So the idea is you have to be aware of that. And before you tell somebody your troubles, you have to make them aware of the fact that you're not directing this towards them, that you're aware of your desire and you're trying to counter that desire. And in giving over your troubles, you're doing it in a sensitive way. Okay? All right, so that's really the shiur on Eicha Perek Aleph. A lot of deep ideas here, but let me just summarize the shiur. So the point of Perek Aleph, or one of the main themes of Perek Aleph, is a lack of nechama, the lack of comfort. And Eicha is trying to show, and it's very redundant, because it keeps saying lack of comfort, lack of comfort. Eimen achim lo. So what's the point of the redundancy? So the redundancy is showing you that people seek out comfort from different avenues, and they seek out comfort from others, and the reality was that Klal Yisrael, and the result of the Churban is that there's all the avenues of Nechama are closed off. And one of the key themes of Nechama is an idea of fairness, of seeing justice, of seeing how it makes sense. And the ultimate Nechama, at the end of the first parak, only will come through the fact that God punishes the non-Jews the same way the Jews were punished. Only then will Klal Yisrael be able to feel a sense of Nechama. But right now, we don't have that. We don't have any of that Nechama. We don't have other nations comforting us and because they're our enemies and they betrayed us. We don't have other nations comforting us because they recognize that we deserved it. We don't have other nations comforting us because they didn't experience the same hardship that we went through. We don't feel comfort because it's far from us, because we're not ready to feel comfort. We're still weeping over the destruction of the Mikdash. And finally, we don't feel real comfort, true nechama, because we don't see the justice. We can't see fully the justice. We understand why we were punished, Chet Chata Yerushalayim, but we don't understand why the other people aren't punished. And if we see that, then it'll feel certain fairness, and we'll be able to feel comfort. And finally, the last idea is just practically, when you're telling other people about bad things that happen to you, you have to be sensitive to the other person. There's a fear on the part of the person you're telling that the same thing will happen to them, and you're allowed to say, may this not happen to you, in order to calm them down, in order for them to be appropriate menachemim for you. And you're supposed to tell other people, the rabbim, about your troubles. And the last idea is that you have to make it clear to the person you're telling your troubles to that you have no aggression towards them. That, yeah, it's true that it's natural, you know, to want another person to experience the same pain, but you have to be aware of that emotion, and you have to try to counter that emotion and make the other person aware of that before you're telling them your troubles. Be sensitive to that. Okay, so that's really the shir on the first parak of Eicha. Anybody have any questions on the shir or any other points you want to add? Okay, so that was first parak of Eicha down, and next week hopefully we'll take the second parak up. Okay, everybody have a good Shabbos.
Oh, yeah, thank you.